There's nothing like a film festival to expose you to a wide variety of cinema art in the short amount of time, and El Paso's champion of independent cinema is returning next week with over 50 film selections to entertain and educate audiences. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The El Paso Film Festival returns next week, running October 14 to the 17th at the Plaza Theater in downtown El Paso. Carlos Corral is a filmmaker and founder and director of the El Paso Film Festival, and I'm delighted to have him back on the program. Good morning, Carlos.
Thanks, Chuck. Glad to be back.
Well, I'm especially delighted to have you on the program. It's been quite the year for festivals. Many of them had to shut down last year. I know you went virtual like a lot of festivals late last year. But you're back in person. You've pivoted. The schedule looks like a bit of a return to normal.
It's a bit of a return to normal, but not quite. We're only going to be in one single theater in downtown El Paso this time instead of our usual two. And so our program's gotten a little bit smaller, but still we're dipping our toes back in the water, so to speak. And we're hoping everyone has the confidence to join us. So El Paso's got an amazing vaccination rate. It's over 75%. And we feel confident that we can return as an in-person festival this year.
I feel like in many ways, El Paso is at the forefront of showing the rest of the country what a community can do when it reaches high vaccination rates and it's masking and taking all the precautions. We've really, you know, dropped that curve and it's been flat, and it's great to see cultural events like yours coming back carefully. And we'll talk about that in a minute, but I did want to talk about, jump right into this year's lineup. You mentioned it's not quite as full bodied maybe as 2 years ago, your last full in-person festival, but there's still quite a few films here. How many titles are you screening, and what's the breakdown maybe roughly between shorts and features?
So we've got about 7 feature films this year. And of course, we have also one special screening with the Filme Frontera Showcase. And short films, we have about, I want to say about 54 total this year.
Wow.
So the shorts kept coming in for sure. But we noticed the features, we tried to program as many as we could, but unfortunately, given our limited amount of time that we can spend mm-hmm. in the philanthropy theater, it was a little limiting. It did make the decisions very tough as to what we wanted to program. But we're hoping that our audiences will be, I guess, excited with what we do have. A lot of the features are local as well. We've got a couple like Broken Gate. We've got Bedridden by Dakota Thomas. And of course, we are opening the festival with a film that you produced and went to Sundance 2021 titled First Date. You and Lucky McKee were two of the producers on it. I think what you guys did was nothing short of a miracle. So I think that is going to be a very strong opening for our festival this year.
Well, we are happy to be a part of that. And full disclosure there, as you mentioned, I am a producer on your opening night feature. But it also appears, you know, as with past festivals, the broad range of genres that you're focusing on here, there's really a little bit of everything, isn't there?
Yeah, especially with our documentaries. We have this wonderful documentary called Vinyl Nation, which was a great hobby that my wife and I picked up during the pandemic. We got into vinyl and really started to appreciate music. So we really connected with that one. But we also have a great documentary called Dirty Feathers, which, believe it or not, is created by my doppelganger filmmaker, Carlos Alfonso Corral. He's also a filmmaker here from El Paso. He's living in LA. Him and his producer, Denise Dorado, are both local El Pasoans. And their film, Dirty Feathers, is about the lives of some of the homeless people here in El Paso. And it premiered at the 71st Berlin International Film Festival. And I thought that was super impressive.
Impressive, indeed.
They've been friends of mine for several years. So more, you know, I reached out to them and said, I really want to bring you guys to El Paso so you can have a hometown premiere. So, and then of course, we also have other narrative films. We have this amazing one called Canción de Invierno, which is Winter Song. The filmmakers are from Mexico City, but it is very much a border story, shot between San Diego and Tijuana. But there was just so many similarities that I saw with the kind of lives that young people and artists and musicians all live between the border here in El Paso and Ciudad Juarez. So bringing that in is also another great perspective that I believe we also need to be reminded of, because the pandemic, I feel, has really separated the connection between El Paso and Ciudad Juarez. And this film, Winter Song, I feel like is a way to kind of rekindle that kind of connection. So I'm hoping that filmmakers from Ciudad Juarez, Las Cruces, and El Paso come to this film, and so that they can kind of remember what times were like prior to the pandemic.
I like that notion of maybe using the festival as a homecoming for the El Paso, Juarez, and regional film community that has been separated for 18 months now or longer. And it feels like you've specifically programmed, maybe weighted it a little more this year to border stories, to celebrating work of people from the region, or maybe they're filmmakers around the country now, but they came from the region. Was that a conscious effort?
A little bit of a conscious effort, but also because a lot of people in El Paso were busy prior to the pandemic creating amazing movies. Right. And even during the pandemic, a lot of them, you know, especially with their short films, were still moving forward. And when you're not in person for 18 months, it did kind of, I mean, we did what we could last year when we went completely digital, which was all for free. We wanted to keep everyone, you know, home and safe. But we're hoping to kind of rekindle the connection in person. So we did kind of tailor our selections and choices to regional filmmakers a little bit more this time, to kind of remind them that there is a connection that we are trying to serve with the El Paso community here.
That's great. And for festival attendees who are not in the film community, who just love film, you know, it occurs to me that as we come out of the pandemic, a film festival is really a great way to travel safely, in that we can just stay home, staycation, and see you're bringing films from all over here. And it's a great opportunity to take in a lot of landscapes and places and people without leaving town. I'm sure a lot of people, you know, COVID is still on a lot of minds, and we are with some trepidation. I see people going back out. The movie theaters getting full again. But walk us briefly through some of the precautions or safety protocols that you're taking for the festival.
So some of the precautions we're taking, of course, we'll be in the Philanthropy Theater inside. We are requiring people wear masks while indoors at any of those events. That's just, again, a precaution. Even if you're vaccinated, we're just requiring masks just as a safety precaution, because I want everyone to feel safe when they're watching these movies. Mm-hmm. And of course, filmmakers themselves, a lot of them want to come and they want to connect with their audiences and have Q&As. And they've asked me too, what precautions do you have? And it's like, well, everyone's masked up and we're disinfecting the theaters after every show. So that's part of the reason why also we weren't able to host as much this year, is because there is like about a 2-hour turnaround time to clean everything. So we're cleaning the theater, masks are on. And of course the receptions that we're going to have, if you have a VIP badge or a filmmaker badge, we're having those outside on the 10th floor of the Hotel Paso del Norte. So everyone can, you know, take their mask off, eat and drink, and, you know, not really worry. And one of the things that I do love about the film festival audiences is that most of them are pretty safe. Most of them are very respectful. And almost everyone I know who's registered, at least all the filmmakers I know, have all been vaccinated. So that's always a great thing. And I know the people who seek out this kind of artist entertainment are going to be very loving and very respectful of it. So and again, 75% of El Paso is vaccinated. I can't tout an even better thing that I'm so proud of with our city. We had such a terrible winter last year, and now it feels like we've completely turned it around.
Fantastic. I'm glad you mentioned Q&As, because one of the special things about film festivals is not just being introduced to films that you wouldn't otherwise see, but also being there in the presence of the filmmakers. Are you able to bring in or gather a number of the actual filmmakers that they can be adding color commentary and discussion to these film screenings?
We are bringing a couple of guests this year. People like Silvana Lazaro, Diana Mata, they did Winter Song. We have Lizette Parera, who won the Femme Frontera Award with us about 2 years ago. She's going to be part of the Femme Frontera panel. and part of the screening as well. And there are a few other guests here and there and other filmmakers who are coming in, some from Ciudad Juarez and other parts of the region. But unfortunately, we did have a couple of filmmakers who were unable to travel. You know, life has gotten crazy for them. Things have changed. So, but they're just happy that the film is playing in a live theater. And so I think hopefully by next year, more people will be willing to travel. But one of the things that does make us special as a film festival is that we really try to bring in as many filmmakers as we can, because a lot of what you're seeing, and especially their films, this is stuff you're not going to see in a mainstream theater. I know the big question I always get when they miss a show is, oh, well, when's it on Netflix?
Right.
Or when's it on Amazon? When can I watch it later? It's like, that's not how independent film works. A lot of times these films are a one-time show, or maybe you see them again later, a couple of years later. That's always happened with a few films that we've had. Some we program and then a year and a half later, they're on Netflix. Like, finally, it's like, but that those are very rare. Some of these, you know, this is really the only time you can see them. So we're hoping to create that or recreate that special environment in a live setting this year.
And listeners who want to attend some or all of the festival, you've got a couple of different routes. Tell us your website and how people can find tickets and passes, et cetera.
Sure. Well, of course, log on to elpasofilmfestival.org. Our schedule and all the films that we will be screening are listed there. You can find out more about the films that we've selected this year. And of course, it's very easy to attend this festival. We don't price anybody out. If you want to come to a single show, a shorts program, or a feature film just one time, $10. That's all it costs. You can find those tickets on Ticketmaster or go to the Plaza Theater box office. But of course, if you really want to watch all the movies for one low price, we do offer a film pass that's only $50. So if you were to watch all of the things we have, it's about $130. But if you get the $50 film pass, you watch everything for about half the price. And then, of course, if you want to pay a little bit more, we also have the VIP option. So this one is where you can get to come to the receptions, network with filmmakers, talk to them about their work. I always recommend this one for filmmakers or for audiences who are thinking of getting into the industry or just want to find out more and get a sense of what it's like to be in this industry. I've never had anyone regret that they got the VIP pass. It's always great. I always make sure that it's interactive, intimate, and very entertaining for them. So yeah, there's all sorts of levels, and really the El Paso Film Festival gives you whatever you want to put into it. So it will, if you give, it will give back.
And it's a great way to support the festival in general, even if you don't make it all the films. And I should mention some of that money, you know, goes to the financial support of the festival, which one of the rare things is that you are a competitive festival and that you give out cash awards.
Yes, we do.
And that sets you apart from a lot of festivals.
Yeah. And I, you know, filmmakers need to be rewarded for their hard work. And one of the things that makes us a very unique festival is that we do hand out cash prizes. This year we've got about, I need to go back and look, but we've got about 10 or 11 awards to hand out, and they're all cash prizes. So that's the one thing we have always been very fortunate to have. In the 4 years that we've been up, we've always given out cash prizes. In fact, they've actually increased this year. We're giving out $6,000 instead of $5,000 this year, because we found more sponsors that want to do more with us.
Well, Carlos, I know it's been a most challenging year for the film industry and film festivals, and I'm so glad you kept the El Paso Film Festival going through the pandemic. Indeed. I've been discussing the 4th annual El Paso Film Festival with the festival's founder and director, Carlos Corral. The El Paso Film Festival returns to downtown El Paso and the Plaza Theater next Thursday, October 14th, with a screening of the romantic comedy crime action film First Date and a VIP reception. The festival will run through Sunday, October 17th, with a full schedule of film screenings and events. For more information on the festival schedule, films, and tickets, log on to elpasofilmfestival.org. Thanks to the KTEP staff for editing today's show, and I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.